Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everybody to Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. It is Friday. You know what that means. It's special guest co-host Friday Night Insight. To my right, Skillet World himself, my brother. Skillet is in the house. How are you, my man?
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on your show, man. This is a long time coming. And vice versa, I need to do the favor to return
it's
the honor.
It's about time.
To get you on the show. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's my honor.
Oh, man, there's some, like, delay my end. What's going on with the internet, goddammit? Either way, I did hear that, though. It has been a long time coming. I'm glad we finally got there. Guys, you're in for a treat tonight. We're going to be talking about some of the news that's going on in the wrestling business. Contract news. Goddamn, it's happening every single day. There's contract news. Jericho's obviously in the news as well. He's making the best of the NHS, you best believe. We will get into that and more right here on Wrestling Day. Again, Friday night special, Skillet in the house. You see it there, the CM Chris himself. If you want to follow Skillet, which you should for some piping hot takes, make sure you get on Twitter and do that. For those of you that aren't aware, but you might be, Skillet used to be a part of Gorilla Position.
That's right.
A UK luminary it was in wrestling podcasts. We had Ash Rose on the show the other week, another great part of that show. I still hope it comes back. I think it was a part of the fabric of British wrestling for a while, man.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, absolutely. And I felt like we were really onto something there. You know, myself, Ash, James, big up Matt, big up Kev Clifton. Hopefully we might be making a return, but who knows? It's all up in the air. But yeah, I love those guys. It's nice. Yeah, a lot of people speculate this. Oh, there was some turmoil between the GP brothers. It was none of that. We all love each other dearly. You know what I mean? So nothing like that.
Get out, speculation. Get out. We won't have it. awesome, though, to finally have you on the show, man. Like, Skillet's a guy who I've been to many kind of press and media days, and I've always enjoyed watching you do your thing. And when I get to talk to him, I think, man, I like the way that guy thinks about wrestling. So it was about time we got together and had a chat. If you guys want to have your say on this show tonight, remember, wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily. That means you guys can dictate what we talk about, and you can believe that me and Skillet are going to go off in different directions and have some conversations tonight. And absolutely, you guys are welcome to set the tone. Also, you know the rules. If you want to have something in the live chat, hit me with a Q. You just put Q before your comment. I know it's a question. You can ask myself and Skillet anything you like, whatever you like. Hit us with the goods. First, Skillet, we like to do the titular news here. And one thing that broke today is that Kairi Sane is no longer under WWE contract. Now, we know last year that her deal changed somewhat. She wanted to go back to Japan. I believe she got married. And she was going to be based there. And the original idea, this is what I was told at the time, is that she was going to be one of the head trainers of NXT Japan. The pandemic happened, obviously, which slowed all of that. And she had, and the WWE had, didn't really play out in Japan. Still, she was under contract, but obviously didn't come back to America to wrestle. Now that she's a free agent, Skillet, do you think Kairi Sane could wrestle again? Is it a stardom job? Or could Kenny Omega make a big play for Kairi Sane?
Well, to answer the last question, I really hope he does. I always assumed that she wasn't the fact that she left WWE is because she was homesick initially. Wasn't it the fact that she wanted to go back to Japan and see her family again? So I guess, all that time she was off, well, I guess she was still in contract, but all that time she wasn't wrestling for WWE. Was she in the States? Was she in all that time?
So when she was written off TV, yeah, and it was in the Bailey Sasha thing,
yeah,
she went back to Japan, yeah, at that point. And obviously travel at that point was really one way, right? Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't get in and out for quarantine and all that stuff, but she wanted to go back and be with her husband, I believe.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's been some time now where she hasn't wrestled in ring. I'm hoping she's getting the itch for it again to wrestle again. And I really hope she does wrestle in AEW. I would love for Kenny to put all the money out and get her into AEW because she's an outstanding talent for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big Kairi fan. I mean, and of course, Kenny, he loves his Jodies, and we know that that's one of their big things over there in AEW. Like when the things have started to open up, your Yuka Sakazakis and all of those, and everyone knows what I think of Yuka. But for Kairi, man, like I just wonder, like, you know, kind of how Bea Priestley, now Blair Davenport, when she was with Stardom and she just flew in, did a shot with AEW, and she would go back to Japan. Mm. I wonder if Kairi Sane would be interested in something like that. Because with WWE, obviously, they wanted her there, on the road, doing bits. But with an AEW schedule, maybe Kairi could be tempted, man. I think it'd be a huge coup for AEW if they could grab her, man.
No, absolutely. And like you just said, you just hit the nail on the head right there. Like the fact that she can just go back and forth, still be at home, still with her family, still with her husband, and still do, you know, apply her trade in America. Because I don't think she would be fully content with her display of what she can do that she's shown already in NXT and whatnot. I think she felt like there's still a lot more she could have shown us. So the fact that she can probably do both in Japan and in the States with AEW is probably definitely the play for her.
Yeah, there's more to do. There's more to do for Kairi. We know this. Elsewhere in the news, before we jump into some more topics, Chris Jericho hospitalized in Wales as part of his UK tour with Fozzy. Man, Jericho looked like he was having a great time.
He was
enjoying all the towns in the UK.
So what happened? What hospitalized in what way?
I'm not even sure what's happened with Jericho. I'm laughing like it's funny. It's not, but I'm not laughing at Jericho's plight. Say that again.
I said it could be very serious. We don't know when it is, but I hope he's all right.
Yeah, it could be. I'm making a lot of it.
Taking photos in the UK, taking photos in Oxford Street. And he was all over the place. So, yeah, I hope he's all right.
Yeah, I hope he's all right, man. Like I said, he was. I spoke to Jericho before he came on the UK tour, and he was really excited about coming over and seeing people again and getting back and doing the tours. And for, you know, I know he's had to cancel the show in Swansea. Mm. But looking at the reports, they're saying he was checked into hospital by doctors. Non-COVID-related treatable health issue. That's as vague as it is. So treatable, good news. They have said that there'll be updates for Saturday's show in Nottingham and Sunday's show in London, but they haven't cancelled them yet. All they've done is cancel the Swansea show that would have been tonight. So it seems like he'll be okay, but I don't know. Maybe Jericho partied a little too hard. Who knows, Skillet?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It probably was that. But who knows? Like you said, who knows?
I just want to say here at this point that we have an ultra chat from Carol Wands Rowcroft, who has been a good egg for 6 months. Wow, great run, Carol. Half a year of fun times, she says. This is the best place to be. Wow, thank you, Carol. So glad I get to celebrate such a great milestone with friends. P.S. Love you, Chris. Listen, Skillet will be blissfully unaware of this, but CM Chris, who is here in the chat, yeah, these two met in the chat of our show, Skillet. And now they're a couple.
Oh, that's lovely. That is amazing.
There you go.
This is what you're doing now. You see what your platform's doing, Alex? You're bringing people together. You know what I mean? You are the new brother love. That's what you are. You're the new brother love.
I thought you was gonna say I'm Richard Blackwood.
No, I love Richard Blackwood. I'm not going to insult Richard Blackwood. I love him. I was going to say, I'd rather be Brother Love.
That's an MTV throwback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you would. You would rather be Brother Love. Do you know what? You're saying about bringing people together. I need to show you these goods. If anyone hasn't clocked on to what I'm wearing, it was Xmas Jumper Day at TalkSport Towers today. So you know I had to represent properly. Look at this. Sit your eyes on this. It is.
Oh yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. One of my all-time
Randy Savage.
You know what? If I was to get a Christmas jumper WWE themed, it will have to be an image of the Macho Madness himself. So you've done really well there, Alex. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Listen, you have to go. If you're going to go in, you've got to go as hard as you can. And this was the hardest jumper I could find. Guys, if you have Christmas jumpers, hit me up. Let me know. I want to see. Mod Mother is right, by the way. There is a delay in our connections for some obscure reason. So there's some temporary pauses going along. But we're working on it. We're working through it. I've tried to cancel some stuff in my house. I don't know if it's my end or whatever is going on, but we're trying, guys. We're trying. Listen, they're loving the rant, the Macho Man Randy Savage impression from Skillet. Look at that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, years of practice. That's what that is. Years of practice.
Well, while we're here, Skillet Man, let's tell the people a little bit more about yourself, because you're involved with a couple of different things, right? Like, you work on the BBC Extra podcast, right? Is that correct?
So I do that.
Go on, man. Tell us a little bit about you, like, because I've seen you at these events before, and to me it was like, oh man, like, I like this guy, but I didn't really know much about your backstory.
Right. Well, thank you. Well, yeah. So basically, how this whole thing? I've been a massive wrestling fan since the age of 5. The first ever wrestling match I ever watched, I was at my cousin's, but I couldn't, my family didn't have Sky at that time, so I watched it at my cousin's. And the first ever match I ever watched was Hogan Warrior WrestleMania 6. And I think the cartoon, the superhero style of Ultimate Warriors is what sucked me in. And as you get older, I was actually quite privileged to have older brothers that was also into wrestling as well. And they were also into tape trading, and they were into, like, you know, so I was lucky enough not only to watch WWE at a really early age, but I was lucky enough to watch New Japan at an early age, WCW. So I just started really learning about how this wrestling world works and forming, you know, I would say wrestling, you know, mark educated opinions on how wrestlers wrestle. And, you know, my favorite wrestler of all time is Bret Hart, you know what I mean? And that was from a young age.
I think from a
young age, I really, really got into the art of wrestling itself. But anyway, fast forward to how I got into doing wrestling journalism or wrestling podcasting. I used to make music. I still kind of do make music, but for a full-time gig, I was doing music for a long time. And some of my songs were able to have like a cult following, and I was invited to One Extra Studios one time to promote my album Skillet Bang, which you can still purchase on iTunes and Spotify and all streaming purpose everywhere. Anyway, DJ Ace had me on his show, and we just talked wrestling. Like, we didn't really talk any, like, we talked a bit about my music and we promoted myself a bit, but we just had a really strong connection with wrestling. And I just remember a lot of people, the feedback we got afterwards was like, you two should just do a wrestling show. And fast forward a few weeks later, Ace invited me to a studio in I think Kensal Rise, and he was like, yo, our first guest is Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle was in the first ever episode of the Kick Out. Yeah, and that's because of Ace. That's Ace's connection. That ain't nothing to do with me. But and since then, that was when the Kick Out podcast was born. And we would just used to do like little, you know, we would do regular content, like how you do every day, every week, Alex. And you know, we put it out and we just started building momentum. We were invited to do WrestleMania 32. Was that the Texas one? Yeah, 32. Yeah, in Texas.
Yeah.
We were invited to do that. So we did that. And that's when I met James. James D'Lo and the Gorilla Position guys. And they love my energy. And we just, it's just the rest is history. I just started following. Not only do I do the kick out, but I also was doing the Gorilla Position stuff and kind of rolled from there. And since then, I've just been able to be, you know, lucky to be amongst yourselves and others and interview wrestlers, you know, just for fun, you know.
Look at CM Chris. He's so quick on your game. Look at that. Oh, he thank knows.
You.
Skill
CM Chris, man, right thank there. You. Like, this guy, he needs to be my agent.
Exactly. He's on it. He's on it.
I will get somewhere with this.
Look
man.
At it. Look, you know, there's a lot of love for Skillet going on right now. I like it. Skillet is legit, says Chris Petru. He's very knowledgeable of wrestling and has great taste in the product as well.
Thank you so much, Chris. That means a lot. Thank you.
Two things on what you just said. One, I've met DJ Ace, I think, 3 times now, and he's been nothing but super, super cool to me. That's a very cool guy. Again, he's got such a cool demeanor, and then you start talking wrestling and you could just kind of see the passion. I love that. I love that in people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Secondly, you saw the kind of music I dig, Skillet. Yes. You've seen this on Spotify. Now, not a lot of people know this, right? But I'm a big New Jack Swing. I'm big like R&B, early '90s, even late '80s, to be fair. And like, I'm an old school kind of guy. Like, I like the smooth stuff. So, like, is Skillet World music? Is that for me?
I think. Were you into rap? Heavy because obviously I feel you
yeah,
and I
yeah all right teenager, sure
yeah so I feel like you might like some of my songs. I think with me, I'm very versatile with my music. I kind of like, it's a strange thing to say and it's probably not the smartest thing to do, but I feel if you're an artist, you just want to express yourself. Do you know what I mean? You don't like, I don't know, like personally, yeah. I obviously I'll be lying to you if I said to you, oh, I never want to make money of music. That's a lie. Of course, I would love to make a living out of music.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? You know what I mean? But I just feel like I just love to express different types of ranges of hip hop or grime and how I can rap differently. Or today I'm going to talk about my trials and tribulations on Tinder. Or today I'm talking about why I say the word skiing. It's just very obscure subjects. Matters to talk about, but for some reason some people it resonates for some people, so it might resonate with you. And a lot of my videos I do is very comical. I make fun of myself, so I don't like to take myself too seriously because that's how I am in real life. I don't like to take myself too seriously as in real life either, so I kind of convey everything that I am into my music. But it's not everybody's cup of tea, you notice these things. Sometimes you play a new song in a room full of friends, you're like, yeah, so I've got this new song, and then everyone's like, and everyone's just on their phone. Just like, and then like, there's no opinions being expressed, and you're like, cool, man, all right, let's go. But yeah,
all right,
yeah, yeah. But that's part of it, isn't it? Like yourself, Alice, you know, when you might, you put a lot of stuff up with what you do, and you might get a lot of backlash. A lot of people might not like what you say, how you feel about things, but you still move on, you still do what you do, you know.
Mate, I've learned, particularly with Twitter, like as my following has got bigger, sometimes I just think I'm going to sit this play out. Like there'll be like this whole discourse going on about certain whatever. And then I'll get some people like either put me in the comments going, Alex, what do you think? Yeah. And I'm like, not for me. I just like, because you just know, like even today, a good example, I watched Tony Khan's interview with my good friend Robbie Fox, and I was like, oh wow, he said some interesting stuff in there. And I as soon as I tweeted what he thought about Sting, I thought, oh, why have you done that, Alex? Because like the first few comments that came in, like, immediately you've like made this divide, right? Where there was these WWE fans versus AEW fans. And I was like, oh, that's not the intention, but that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
So the more you put stuff out, the more aware you become of how people will receive things or won't. But man, I'm going to check out your music, because I tell you what, at the very least, you and I need to hit up like a jazz or like New Jack Swing night. We need to make something happen.
100%, brother. We will. We're going to hit up one of these New Jack Swing nights. These Guy and Teddy Riley and all those.
Teddy Riley, brother.
We're gonna do that, brother. I've got some friends who kind of throw these kind of. I've never really, if I'm honest with you, I've never really attended these nights, but they do look amazing. They look amazing. I see it on their Instagram posts, and they do look like people come out there and they dance to New Year Groove and
Groove Me.
Yeah, Groove Me. That's one of my favorite songs. Yeah, so, and I think, there's probably a bit of a market there for you and I to kind of,
I'm telling you, mate. Well, it's got to be tapped into.
Kick people out of the way, kick them out of the way with the slap in the thigh as we do it and take over,
Do you know what? I know a brother who likes a similar music as SB3, and he says, glad to see Skillet on the show. Awesome crossover. I'm loving the fans.
Big up there. I love those guys. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, they're great, man. Oh, what about this though? We need Skillet back on WrestleMania.
No, Chris, you do not. I have no shame in saying this, even though I'd like to think I have a great wrestling brain. On that particular night, I was probably the worst WrestleMania guest ever. I don't know what happened. My mind drew blank. I was terrible. But they have invited Luke. Shout out to Luke Owens. He has invited me back on the show. So maybe when I feel a bit more confident again.
Redemption.
Yeah.
Redemption one day, yeah. Brother. One 100%. Day. Listen, with the news at the moment, we've learned in the past couple of days. So Sean Millsap has said that Johnny Gargano, free agent, did not accept WWE's offers. He has now tweeted, he's put merchandise on PWTs, which is generally a sign that they're a free agent. PW Insider has now come out and said that Kyle O'Reilly is also a free agent. It's worth noting that Dave Meltzer did say at some point that their angles were done with the intention that perhaps they would come back at some point. Mm-hmm. So is this WWE acting kind of arrogantly like they did with Bryan Danielson, where they thought he'll come back, whatever, we'll let them have their time. They'll come back. Question is, Skillet, Gargano, O'Reilly, what are they doing? Are they both AEW bound?
I strongly believe Kyle is AEW bound.
I do too.
I think Gargano could have a good chance of playing this really smart here, where he can actually have the freedom to kind of wrestle where he wants and even maybe pick up some AEW gigs. You know how they normally do those one-off gigs and somebody showed up at a random battle royale or have a one-off match, but then Gargano could probably do something like that. I honestly do believe Gargano, the kind of guy that he is, not to say that I know him personally, but the kind of guy that he strike me as, because he does seem like a really nice, down-to-earth, honest human. And I think he does really, truly does appreciate everything Triple H and Shawn Michaels has done for him.
Yeah,
I can see Gargano doing what he needs to do, having his creative freedom in wrestling, but actually is going to come back to WWE. I can see Gargano going back and keeping his word. Kyle, on the other hand, I can see Kyle having a great time with his boy Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. And he'd be like, WWE, who? I'm sorry. I can see that as well. But I think Gargano I think he will go back for sure.
The only thing for me is like everything you just said about Gargano, which I agree with. I think that did also apply to Adam Cole. Like Adam Cole was proper Shawn Michaels and Triple H's guy. He was embedded there. And it was only because he wanted to go work with his friends, right? Like the Bucks. And it's, that's a situation that he wanted to put himself into. With Gargano, there's a lot of stuff in play. Like, he's even putting out the t-shirts today. Like, a part of me was like, oh, I wonder if he's just doing that. But, you know, his wife is there, pregnant, under contract for a while. Might be a bit strange for him to take the leap now if he was going to do that. But, I mean, I could see both of them in AEW because you look at Gargano and his indie run before WWE. He's definitely got a lot of friends there. I think if I'm Gargano and I'm looking at the main roster and how they've treated people coming out of NXT of his ilk,
yeah,
I'm probably thinking AEW is for me. But at the same time, AEW is only there's only a finite amount of spots, right? Like,
exactly.
I mean, you've seen with a lot of different people that, you know, and Miro is a great example of when he first came into the company. Like, sometimes you have to bide your time because Tony Khan's already got so much mapped out. He can't just slot you in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I don't know. I think with Gargano, like, with O'Reilly, it's more obvious, right? Because like you said, the Undisputed Era guys are there. Gargano, a whole new thing, it's a bit tougher.
The only thing I would say that would work for Gargano if he did go AEW is knowing that certain stars have a shelf life. Like, you know, Brian and the Punks, they ain't going to be there for 10 years. They're going to be there for maybe three or four. So if they drop out, Gargano could probably slip in where Brian... Do you know what I mean? If they build Gargano enough, that could probably happen. Another thing I was going to say, I hear what you're saying about the Adam Cole point, but Gargano didn't experience the point that totally just made Adam Cole say, no, I'm going, which was the insult of, we're going to put you with Keith Lee and cut your hair because you're not a wrestler. You're not a wrestler. You're small. Cut your hair. And we're going to put you with Keith Lee, who we're going to sack in 6 months' time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like because Cole experienced that, he was like, well, thank you, Vince. See you later. You know what I mean?
If they said that to Cole, that is what they said to Gargano.
100%. I'm hoping Vince and Gargano has never had a conversation. I'm hoping everything between Gargano and WWE has just been Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and it's all nice and sweet and lovely. That's what I'm hoping. Vince might walk past Gargano
again,
and be like,
that
where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? Like, I'm a wrestler, Vince. Oh, sorry.
We need a new mouthpiece for Damian Priest. I don't know. That's probably what Vince is thinking.
Exactly.
Who knows? Just who knows what the fuck?
Fucking names out of the air. You know, just making things up.
Sat says Gargano the ref.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate. What I was going to say is now that we're entering the home straight of the show, I want to ask Skillet some questions to get to know his wrestling tastes a little bit better. And I'm going to start off with an easy one. And guys, if you have these questions too, hit us in the live chat. Q, you got a question for Skillet in wrestling tastes. You're going to get the tone very quickly. But I know what his answer is going to be here, only because he's told me before, but he also mentioned it earlier in the show. Skillet, Sean or Bret?
Bret Hart all day. And I love Sean, but it's Bret Hart all day. All day.
See, I like it that you're balanced though, right?
Yeah.
Like you can appreciate that both were amazing, but I'm with you too. I'm a Bret guy.
Don't get it twisted. Like Shawn Michaels, obviously Shawn Michaels, genius. When he has arguably one of the greatest matches of all time with WWE. His matches speaks for itself. He's just in-ring genius. But Bret, I just feel like I think you could watch all of Bret's matches, apart from the one with Vince McMahon at WrestleMania. And be just like, you just catch something new every time. He's just so ahead of the game, man. And he changed wrestling for me. Bret changed wrestling for me, for sure.
I honestly like, and I know so many people have said this, but I wish we could have seen Owen do more, because I feel like Owen had all the hallmarks of Bret, but I would argue actually had a deeper locker. That sounds crazy to say.
No,
but like, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, in terms of the way he worked, he could do so much.
100%.
I really feel like we were robbed that we never got the top run for Owen. Rock or Austin?
I love The Rock. Don't get me wrong. I love The Rock. The Rock is one of the most quotable wrestlers I've ever quoted, apart from Ric Flair. Ric Flair and The Rock, I quote all the time. And The Rock, you know, made my childhood. Mwah. But Austin... really made my childhood. Does that make any sense? And for me,
yeah,
yeah, for me, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, for sure.
See, I'm a well-publicized rock mark. Everyone knows this. But at the same time, like, don't get me wrong, I was a huge Austin guy as a kid. And if anyone ever asked me, like, who's the biggest star or whatever in the history of wrestling, it is Austin. Like,
100%.
What he did from a business standpoint and where he drove the industry to, you can't touch Austin. Who's my personal favorite? It's still The Rock. Like, I love Rock. He's my guy. Yeah. But I'm not like, you know, I'm not stupid about it. Austin was a game changer.
I'm sure you felt the same way I felt when you saw Austin come out when the glass shatter and you weren't expecting him. And you were going on like you were there in the stadium. I've never seen Austin live apart from WrestleMania 32 when he came out. But I've never seen him wrestle live in my life. But every time he was on my TV screen, I would feel like I was in that crowd. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is the feeling Austin used to give me. I used to go crazy in my front room. My mum and dad would be like, what are you shouting at? It's Austin. Austin, mum.
You know. You know who it is. Get in here. Get in here,
knee,
girl.
The knee brace. The finger pointing. He was incredible. I don't care what anybody says. He was incredible. He was incredible.
Eli says, question, best heel of all time?
That's a very good question.
It's so tough because it depends what the criteria is, right?
Yeah. And it's like, if you want to talk about what actually a heel is, because you have some great heels, but they're cool and they're likable and you love them. But if you talk about somebody that you despise and did their job to convey hatred, do you get what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Who's
Listen,
that?
Listen, I'm going to throw this at you. While you're thinking about it, I'm going to throw this at you. Yeah. And people are not going to like it, but I'm going to say it. One of the greatest heels, and I'm judging this on somebody who had real, tangible nuclear heat, right, at a time. But not only that, he made his foils so much better. His baby faces went on to be some of the biggest the industry has ever seen. 2000 Triple H is an amazing heel, right?
Now, you're not wrong, by the way. And I'm glad you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned two. Did you say, are you saying the year 2000? Yeah. Yes.
I am saying the year Alex, 2000.
You are my guy, Alex, because you understand what I'm saying. Now, Triple H gets a lot of slack, right? And because of that 2003, 2004 run that he did, even though he still had some good matches in between those.
We don't forget Booker T.
The Booker T thing was heartbreaking for me. And I'm glad he dropped the belt to Benoit. I'll give him that. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't really say his name, but you know what I mean. But 2000 Triple H, that whole year, that string of pay-per-views, that whole year, the title defenses, the matches that he had, he was out. I don't care. And then that year, he actually won PWI Wrestler of the Year, right?
Yeah, he did.
So definitely, I totally agree with you. One of the greatest heels of all time, Triple H. I was going to say, I'm going to give a shout out to Ted DiBiase. The reason why I'm going to give a shout out to Ted DiBiase, because that man never was a face. Never.
Sati Nyangi says, Jake the Snake Roberts, trust me, 91 to 92. Yes. Yeah. That's a very good chat. It's a very good
absolute call. One of the best answers. Absolutely, Jake the Snake's up there as one of the greatest heels of all time. But some heels they turn face, and I feel DiBiase never did that. You know what I mean?
See, I mean, you could say like Ric Flair at the apex of the Four Horsemen was like, you know, when he was opposite Dusty. Again,
that was the first name that sprang to mind when you asked me that.
Exactly, exactly. You can make a great case for that. You really could, but. Sati Nyangi is saying, who had a better brief WWE run, Jerry Lynn or Kid Cash? Jesus.
I'm going to be honest. Kid Cash didn't really, in my opinion, he didn't really have much memorable matches in the WWE.
I remember Jerry Lynn being like the light heavyweight champion in like 2001.
He was a light heavyweight champion. He had a few matches with RVD. Obviously, it wasn't the same ill because the ECW matches.
Nah.
He was a light heavyweight champion, definitely. He had a few matches with RVD, he had a few matches with X-Pac and whatnot. Kid Cash, did he not have a cruiserweight run in the early 2000s, 2004?
Yeah, well, like 2003, 2004, something like that.
Yeah, he had a cruiserweight run, but I'm going to say Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, That's a real difficult question. Like, there's no clear winner. But yeah, I'm gonna go Jerry Lynn. What else have we got going on here? We've got some good questions going on here. Oh wow, this is a tough one. Carol One says, question for Skillet: Becky or Flair or Bailey or Sasha? That's hard.
Carol, why do you have to do that to me, man? damn, that's really hard. Because
listen, putting the four horsewomen in order is like the hardest thing you could do. It's so difficult.
I have to give credit where credit's due, and I have to be honest, because you got to look at consistency of matches. You got to look at performances from, you know, their debut in NXT from 2014 to present day, and who's put on consistently matches that I felt that are like 5-star or brilliant or blah. But I'm gonna say Charlotte, Sasha, Becky. Oh, but I love Bailey though. I don't know. This is hard. But I'm gonna say Charlotte and Sasha, the top two. But then I feel disservice to Bailey and Becky. But it's hard. It's a hard one. Thanks for that.
I mean, it's tough. Like, it to me, it's hard. I think Sasha Banks has got the best body of work of all of them.
I agree. But I agree with you.
Like,
yeah, I agree. I didn't say that.
Takeover, Hell in a Cells. What she did with Bianca, like, she has got. You could argue in the top 10 women matches in WWE history, she's got maybe 4 of the top 5. Like, you could make that argument.
Yeah.
I think Charlotte Flair has been unbelievable on pay-per-view as well. Like, she's had we all know why she has her detractors, but man, between the bell to bell, that girl is incredible.
I've got a question for you, Alex.
Becky's the biggest. Go on.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm so sorry.
Hit me.
What do you think is the out of the four horsewomen matches, right? And it's not including the matches I'm going to mention, doesn't include all the four horsewomen, but the obviously Sasha,
okay.
Sasha Bailey, obviously NXT Brooklyn won. Obviously, it's arguably the best women's wrestling in WWE history. But would you also say Asuka Charlotte at WrestleMania in New Orleans?
34. Yeah. So I was there for Charlotte Asuka.
Yeah. So was I. Yeah.
And I thought it was unbelievable. Right. Like, there were so many people that were mad. They were mad that Oscar's streak was dropped. I wasn't mad. I was like, well, look, if she's going to lose it to, you know, the cream of the crop, that's fine. And the match was killer. You know, I feel like Oscar's been done dirty several times since. But,
yeah, definitely.
I still think, like, for what it meant moving forward, Sasha and Bailey is probably the pace setter. Probably.
I think you're right. I agree.
Let's have a look. What else we got going on here? Assad says, if WWE lost the war and WCW was still here today, who do you think would have been the WCW world champion after Booker T? That's a great question. Are we assuming? So hang on. If WWE lost the war, that means that WCW creative and control, and they would have picked up WWE talent. Presumably,
yeah, I'm assuming that's the question. They would have acquired WWE's talent, so it would have been The Rock, which happens.
You know what? This is funny. It would, yeah, well, yeah.
It happened anyway.
It would have been The Rock.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I interviewed Eric Bischoff once, and I don't know if you remember this promo, but do you remember when he gives him the world title, and he says something like, "If I had had you in my ranks,
I do.
Like, you know, I would have grabbed you." And when I interviewed him, I asked him, I was like, did you mean that? And he was like, no. He was like, nah, that was written for me. I didn't mean that at all. I was like, oh, all right. So he's no big Triple H guy.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, he did not. He shot that right down.
Yeah, Bishop would have loved The Rock. 100%.
The Rock would have been the Rock.
And that's what happened anyway, so...
Yeah, there you go. That's a great question, but also equally a great answer. Question from Marjo32. Worst faction of all, in all of wrestling, I assume. Today? Ever? I mean, there's a lot of people.
I think he means ever. What was the...
The League of Nations were really bad.
That wasn't good. X Factor was terrible. Hey, yo, you're dealing with that. I got everything I ever wanted. Oh, terrible. What was the name?
Who was that? X-Pac, Just Incredible, and Albert.
Yeah.
Stunk. Yeah, it stunk.
It's horrible. Horrible. Yeah. What was the name of the oddities? Did you like oddities? I didn't like the oddities.
The oddities? Yeah, Kurgan and shit. Yeah.
You did.
I didn't like them. Like, but you know, they're coming out and they're going, Kurgan was a horrible wrestler as well. I don't know. They had the South Park toy. That's about as good as it got.
And that was Earthquake, wasn't it? That had the Cartman.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah.
They did my man dirty. Mighty. John Tenta. Rest in peace, John. They did you dirty before you died, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they really did. They had The Union was another one that like could have been good, but they just had it for like 2 weeks and then went, nah, fuck it.
Yeah. I feel like we're missing actual poor factions. We're definitely missing some really bad ones.
There's some moody ones in WWE, man. I tell you what, this is one. I love the corporation and I love the Ministry of Darkness. The corporate ministry stunk.
Yeah, I agree.
That was just like, they were just making stuff up as they went along.
Yeah. But the thing is about back then, even though they weren't doing that, it still paid off.
Yeah, I was entertained.
And I guess that's the star power of the likes of Austin and The Rock. Like today, when they try to make things up, it doesn't pay off today. It's not going to happen.
Nah. I think the League of Nations, when you look who was actually in it and what they could have done with them, that could have been a lot. But like Bad News Barrett, at the time, could have been a lot more. We all know he should have been a world champion. Miro, look at him now. Rusev then. Yeah. He was nothing. Del Rio just sucks anyway.
Yeah.
And Sheamus was in a weird holding pattern as well where his babyface run hadn't worked and they were trying to flip him and it was just, yeah.
I love Sheamus.
I like Sheamus. Yeah. But they've all come out and said that the whole purpose of the group was just to put over Roman, which, I mean, they were destined for failure, weren't they?
Yeah, that wasn't going to work. All right, I think like we're definitely missing some vital poor factions out there, but I think we've answered
the Jump Squad.
The Jump Squad. The Jump Squad, they were supposed to be a comedy, innit? They were never really. I feel like.
I mean, we're talking WWE now. Like, you want to extend it to, like, you know, WCW and TNA. Oh my God.
Oh, God. I mean, in WCW, I didn't like the Filthy Animals. I hated that faction. I didn't even like NWO Black and Red. I didn't like that.
I hated that, man. That diluted the hell out of it.
100%. That was terrible. I remember, what was the military faction where Booker T changed his name back to G.I. Bro and Hugh Morris changed his name to General Erection. What were they called again?
Was that not New Blood Rising? I don't know.
New Blood Rising was on the cusp after that, but there was like a military that was just
there's a mesh of things going on in my mind right now. Look, Aces and Eights was a lot of people complained about that. Like the payoff was not what people had hoped for.
No,
but then
I wouldn't say it's a bad faction though. I wouldn't say it's a bad faction.
No, I wouldn't say it was the worst. And also, I very fondly remember the Main Event Mafia. I was a big fan.
Main Event Mafia were hilarious, but
exactly.
I don't like this narrative. Someone, not everyone's narrative, but there's a little bit of a narrative with certain podcasts that try to say that they're like a great faction.
I don't know about great.
Yeah, yeah. They tried to put them over Heart Foundation. I nearly broke my laptop.
Who said this?
So big up Wrestlings. I love Wrestlings. I love them. I know they're your brothers as well.
I love them. But
I know they're your brothers as well.
I've got heaps of them now.
But they did a little show, shout out to Mex, WrestleMania UK, and there was a debate about factions, and someone had the nerve to say Main Event Mafia over Heart Foundation, and I'm telling you, Alex, I nearly had a heart attack, bro. I had to, you know, you get so triggered, you had to close the laptop. I had to close it. I was so pissed.
I'm about to wake my kids up and tell them. That's how bad that is. They need to know. They need to know what blasphemy has been spoken. Oh my word.
I love those guys.
Yeah, oh, I love rest things. You know what? This is a cool fact, and they'll tell you this actually. When Wrestling Daily was started, they were who I wanted to be as one of the co-hosts. Like, I wanted there to be like a night where there was like me and three of them, and they were down to like the final shortlist, as it were. But then in the end, we decided that I wanted it to be as like diverse, and so I wanted it was SB3, it was always going to be him. Louis was always going to be it because he was working for Wrestle Talk at the time. And then we were like, man, we need to get a female voice, and that's ultimately why Steph got the nod. But that's how much I admire Respings, is the point of that story. I wanted them to be part of the show.
Amazing, bro. I noticed that you're very much into, you know, inclusivity, and you had them. They told me ages ago about when you had them on the show and how much it meant to them. So hopefully, a collaboration between the two of you another time. Well, you know what I mean? Hopefully that would happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen. They actually asked me to go on their show last week, and I was like, yeah, man, let's work it out. It's just timings, isn't it? But I will do it. David has said, who is the best host in Wrestling Daily? I mean, look, Sat and SB3 are in the chat.
This is gonna get sticky. I think everyone is amazing in their own right.
Diplomat World, that's his new name. There you go.
And I love Wrestling Daily. I love the whole team. And I feel that they are a great bunch of lads, and they're going to do really well. And they are doing really well. And I'm happy for them. No, honestly, in all seriousness, you're all amazing, by the way. I just want to say that.
All right. Thank you, brother. We're delighted that you finally came through, man, that we could make it happen. I said this to Skillet like that literally about four times in a row when I saw him. I was like, took a while. It took a while, but we got there. Another question. We've gone so long here, but I'm just going to keep doing it.
I'm having fun.
Best, Assad says, best Rock promo, best Stone Cold promo. Now, conventional wisdom, Skillet, would say that Stone Cold's best promo is the legendary 316 promo.
Yeah.
But Rock has got... But...
But, I mean, it is. I'm not gonna deny that. That is his best promo.
Well, it's the most iconic. Yeah.
One of my favourite all-time Stone Cold promos that I don't think gets mentioned enough is when he had was the promo before the bear truck. So before he jumped on, yeah. I don't think it was the bear truck when he sprayed them with the alcohol.
You mean the Zamboni where he comes down and
right
and yeah,
and it is just before WrestleMania 15, and he says to The Rock, he says, You hear spinning your little nursery rhymes, talk about know your role this and jabroni drive that. Jesus Christ, son, you better get your ass in order, because when Stone Cold Steve Austin checks into the SmackDown Hotel and checks into room 316, he's going to turn that son bitch and burn it to the ground.
Look at that.
Listen, that promo for me, one of the all-time best. The Rock. That's a hard one.
I mean, again, it depends what you're going for, because we were saying this earlier about a heel, right? A promo is meant to sell you on a match. And on that note, one of my favourite Austin promos is actually before WrestleMania 17. And it's not technically a promo, but I think it is, where he sits down with JR and he's like, I need to beat you, Rock. Love right? That. He's like, I need this more than you can ever imagine. Like, and when I first watched that, it didn't resonate with me so much, right? But then when you watch what happens at WrestleMania 17, it all starts to make sense that they laid the groundwork that he was saying, you don't understand, like, I will do anything to beat you. And at the time, none of us could see what that meant. But man, like, the promo, it strikes such a chord once you've seen what happens.
I think their rivalry is the best ever.
Biggest business, most entertaining, biggest stars. Exactly. Can't argue with that. You know, one of my favorite Rock promos is before Hell in a Cell, in terms of comedy, where he impersonates everyone.
Drink
some Budweiser, listen to some Backstreet Boys.
That's a classic. I also love when the Billy Gunn one, Hello, God.
Dear God.
My name is Billy.
Okay, Bob. But my name, it doesn't matter what your name is.
So when he destroyed Kane's voice box, my name is Kane. And I'm a Rudy Pooh. He's had too many. He's got too many promos, man. Obviously, I love Hollywood Rock as well. Hollywood Rock was amazing.
I would say, you know, I've just thought of like when he was killing Undertaker's, like Undertaker's 20-pound head. I'm gonna shove it straight up your ass. But yeah, the Hollywood Rock, I would say Sacramento is legendary, where he's like they cut some fat ass women and the Rock is gonna just say no.
That was great. And the Toronto one as well. That was great.
Yeah.
But
the Sacramento one.
You're going. The Sacramento one.
Killer, just for the like the Lakers line that he does at the end. He's like when they'll beat the Kings in May and the arena goes mad. Crazy. But the Toronto one, like you said, that's got so many killer lines in it as well.
So many. Yay! I saw him.
That's where we live.
That's where we live. Shut up. But another classic one, quickly, when he was in the corporation, just joined, Big Show helped The Rock beat Mankind in the ladder match. And Big Show wanted some credit from The Rock. And the Rock said, big time, you think you can just waltz onto The Rock show? he was just so funny, man. Like I don't know how those guys kept a straight face with all that stuff, because
honestly, the Rock every time he was with Lillian was tremendous as well.
Yeah,
where he was like, "Are you looking at the peoples?" And he would like do his belt, the strudel. He was like, "You get wet with perspiration every time you're around the Rock." He was like, "The guy was
so good."
Honestly, you can't replicate that kind of fire. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for all of your questions. I know there's some more, but we are going to cut it now. It'll be an hour, man. Thank you very much for all of your time tonight. We got through the rocky stages of the stupid connection that I had at my house. So thank you very much for bearing with us. But, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to have Skillet on tonight. CM Chris, where you at, man? Give us the links.
Give us them links. Thank you so much.
He'll come through.
And thank you for having me, man. This has been so much fun. And I'm gonna flip it on the kick out and invite you as well, Alex. Get you guys on the show as well. So for sure.
Mate, we would love to come and always chat wrestling with you, my man. Hopefully next year there's gonna be some UK shows banging around that we can have some fun at. Are you trying to hit Rumble or Mania?
We're trying to do Rumble. I definitely want to try and get Ace out there because Ace is he's recovering from a kidney transplant. It's all successful, all went well. Yeah, so he's been
really.
I didn't know that. So some people don't know about that. So yeah, that's why he's kind of been a bit quiet.
Gonna have to message my guy.
100%. What I'll do is when he's back on his feet, I'm gonna get you on, man, because it'd be good to have him and me and him have you on and interview with Ace being there.
For real, Let's do that.
But yeah, I would love to treat him to Royal Rumble. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I hope everybody has enjoyed the show tonight. Like, we don't always go an hour these days, and you all asked for us to do it. And tonight we did. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I'll be the first show. You know how that goes. SB3 and Sa'i Niangi, both who have been in the live chat tonight. They've got you on Monday. Then I will be with Sat on Tuesday and SB3 on Wednesday. And then we've got a special show on Thursday where all four co-hosts are in the house. I'll explain why on Monday. Until then, enjoy your weekend of wrestling, gang. We all love to see it. Skillet, man, tell the people where they can find you if they want to, man.
Please, yes. If you liked any of my madness today, please follow me on Twitter at Skillet World, SKILLIT World. Same with Instagram. Please follow me. I do follow back, and I love to interact with wrestling fans. So please don't be shy to ask me any random questions. Thank you so much, Alex. Thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm so proud of myself.
Anyway, thank you for having me, Alex. And listen, Alex, have a lovely Christmas as well. You and the family. I see you and your beautiful children. So please have a lovely Christmas, and think of me if the kids ever jump off your kitchen counter trying to do Cactus Jack moves. Just think of me.
They won't sell for me. That's their problem. They won't sell.
And they want to go.
They want to get their shit in. They don't want to sell. Bad.
So they're like the they're like Mil Mascaris. You've got a bunch of two Mil Mascaris. Carol, I'm going to follow you back. Definitely, Carol. And how dare you ask a hard question like that? How dare you?
That's what she put it on you. She's earned it. Anyway, thank you guys so much for enjoying the show tonight. Enjoy and following us. Share, subscribe, like, all of that good stuff. You know how that works here on Wrestling Daily. But until later, thank you for joining us right here on Wrestling Daily.